Yes.
Hey, everybody. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Ruffin. As always, I'm joined by Chris Schaefer, the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how are you doing today? We've already kind of talked a little bit, but I want to dig deeper. How's it going? I know you had a long night, but you made it till today. And how are you doing going into spring? I know business was like super busy at the beginning of the year. It was for me too.
Yeah.
Have things kind of like gotten to a more comfortable level? Are you still swamped? What's going on at the great Chris Schaefer's house?
Yeah. You know, Tuesday, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I don't have any builds today. It's going to be a good day. I watched a movie during the day. Like I had like a break and I had a little bit of a break. And then Wednesday, Thursday, it's just like, that was it. That was my break. Then immediately I got some more builds. I had a whole bunch of work to do. And that was it. That was my spring break. So Tuesday was nice. Mm. But the weather's great. You know, it's Texas. It's spring. And it's a wonderful time to be in Texas. So.
Well, I was actually thinking of you this week, Chris, because... Well, let me just ask you a question first. Did you, you had a farm software company a while ago? Are they still a client?
No, they aren't.
Okay, just curious, because I was thinking about things this week because, okay, full disclosure, had a client, they reached out to me, had a call with them. They reached out to you, and then they ended up going with me. And I know back in the day, you stole that farm client from me. You took food off my table.
This is years ago, though. This is years ago, though,
no,
right?
No, I haven't thought about that much. No. I haven't dwelled on it. No. But you stole them from me. You stole food off my table.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, you had the client. We talked to them, and they chose me. Yes. So I just want to tell you, it's all good. It's just going to happen. It's the nature of what we're doing here. The conflicts could happen, but it's fine. We work through it. No, I don't hold any grudges, and I just want to let you know I got that client this time. So suck it.
Let's go.
that's really so all I felt like saying this week, Chris. But you know, it felt a little nice to get one back.
So,
but,
hey, even losers win sometimes, you know. So that's great. Wow. That's great. You know, and a lot of people think when they hear us, you know, we share so much together that they think that we do business together, but believe it or not, Jason and I could not be more separate in what we do. We do not share clients. I have no idea how many clients he has. I have no idea what clients he is working with, other than every now and then we'll mention something back and forth and we'll pick up on it, but we don't disclose stuff. We're here talking, and that's that. The extent of what we share here is pretty much what I know about him. I assume that he is a male from Oklahoma, but I've never met him in person, and maybe someday we'll find out. But more importantly, I want to share some great news with you guys. There is a tool out there that you can get access to for 6 weeks for free and try out something that I use personally, Jason uses personally, and you can up your AdWords game with Opteo. That is opteo.com/PSP for a 6-week extended trial. Ask them in the chat box on the right-hand side of the page, and you too can take advantage of email alerts, special alerts that are sent to you or to your Slack channel about things like spending overspend, underspend on your campaign. So if you're running multiple client accounts, or you just have one big account that you just need to manage and make sure you don't miss anything important, you know, you have other hats that you wear, Opteo is the place to go. Opteo.com/PSP. Get your 6-week trial and tell them Chris and Jason sent you.
Thank you, Chris. And I also want to thank Directive Consulting. They are today's other sponsor, and Directive Consulting is the go-to B2B search engine marketing agency. They work with enterprise and B2B companies all around the world. Google Ads, we always talk about it, search engine marketing. It's different for different kinds of businesses, and you can definitely benefit from going with a specialist. And what Directive specializes in is working for large enterprise and B2B companies, helping them get their leads from PPC, SEO, content, landing pages. They've got a whole package. We recommend you guys check out their website, directiveconsulting.com. They've got a ton of great case studies on there. You can see what they've done for other companies and what they can do for you. And we recommend you guys go to their website, directiveconsulting.com, and get a custom proposal, and you can see what they can do for you and how they can grow your leads tremendously. So we want to thank Directive Consulting. And again, their website is directiveconsulting.com. Chris, we are back on YouTube, and I want to ask everyone on YouTube to please like the video and leave us a comment about anything. We like getting those comments. It helps the videos grow. But anyway, I just got to say, I feel so much better after telling you off, getting that off my chest.
I'm so glad.
It's been probably, I think, 2.75 years since you stole that food off my table.
It's a while, yeah.
And yeah, it's been bugging me every minute of every day since. But we're even Steven now. So, Chris, I want to thank everyone for leaving us reviews. I showed you the ratings, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon, we will be, I think, in the top 200 in business podcasts on iTunes.
Wow.
So if you're in your podcast player, your Apple podcast, and you go to browse podcasts and you go to business, they show you the top 200. We're almost there, Chris. And I think it's going to keep growing and we're going to get there. And that's pretty awesome. The reason why is because when you guys leave reviews, it shows iTunes and Apple that we've got something good here going, and they share it with other people. So today's review comes from JVNM from Australia. Remember, Chris, we're getting international reviews
international.
Now.
So this is international.
Apparently Australia, Australia not only has iTunes, but apparently they have computers.
Oh.
And they have internet now.
Oh, how
so,
nice.
So this person in Australia was able to leave us a review. So that's, you know, great news. So he says, Chris and that other guy are awesome. 5 stars. I've learned so much from this podcast. Chris is funny and knowledgeable. The other bloke does a really dodgy Aussie accent and sounds like he has a few roos loose in the top paddock, but is still entertaining. You just can't compare these guys to any other AdWords podcast. They're truly in a class of their own. So I think he was taking a shot at me, Chris. I think he was taking a dig at me, but like many in Aussie before, I don't even understand what he's saying. So if right. I saw the bloke, I'd do a shoey with him and it would be all good. Chris, more fan interaction. I love it. We have a question today from Becky from Spokane. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, Spokane. So first, I'll tell you guys before I read the question from Becky, you can leave a voicemail rather than a message from our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. You can send in your question there, or you can send your beautiful voice over, which we sometimes play those. 214-810-1355. So call that number, leave your voicemail. We will laugh at it and then we'll play it. So Becky wants to know, and Becky, I did edit your question a little bit. And I appreciate what you said. Does Google give more weight if your landing page is your company's website? Okay, so taking that, if they do give more weight, do you then add that page to the website to replace the current contact page they may already have? Or does Instapage host it as one standalone microsite? So she mentions Instapage, which Jason, you and I both like. It's a great site tool. But let's get back to the core question, the assumption that she comes across here. And I'll tell you, in the original question, she comes across this suggestion from a Google rep from years ago that had actually told her this.
Wow.
So, you know, we have to mind our step here because a Google rep of unnamed origin has told her this, but what do you think about that?
So does their business domain, is that going to perform better than a landing page domain?
Right.
Chris, I mean, you want my honest opinion? Is that what I'm doing here on the show?
Yeah, I think that's what everyone's here for, is to cut past the BS and get to the real JR.
Chris, the honest answer is I don't know. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sure.
I have not read a rule either way. I don't have a piece of content from Google on this. But my gut, and by the way, guys, I'm down under $4, $398 as of last week.
Beautiful.
Chris, a few weeks ago, you said, you know what? You used to be a lot fatter on camera. Or wait, did you say, it looks like you lost weight? I can't remember, but that's how I took it. And yeah. I was like, yeah, Chris, I'm down from 450 to 398 protein. So, Chris, I don't know for sure, but my gut, I'm going to say yes. Like, I think there is some weight that a business website, a domain, can get behind the scenes in that black box of quality score that you and I and no one else is ever going to see. I think there is something to that. Now, if a client has a very bad website with maybe no lead forms, maybe a really small phone number, and maybe the site's slow, then for sure, get it on a landing page and get better performance. Or even if the site's not slow, and I think a landing page will be better in a situation, maybe they're doing commercial moving and the site doesn't have any service pages about commercial moving. Yeah, make a landing page about commercial moving. I don't care what the domain is. It's going to perform better. But all things being equal, I do think there's something to that historical domain. Maybe there's something to the links that are pointing to that domain out in the SEO backlink organic results world. I don't know. I just don't know. So my gut is, all things being equal, I think there is something to a long-standing business website with links pointing to it from legitimate sites with a lot of history, maybe a lot of history in an ads account, getting some kind of benefit. I don't know how big it is, but I think there's something to that. But that's all things being equal. Usually things are not always equal. And if I would not let this be the decision maker for you, but I do think there's something to it. What do you think, Chris?
I agree with you. And rather than just repeating what you said, because I think that's an excellent point, let me say this. Becky, when it comes down to it, I always think when it comes to a decision of ad copy and landing page, there's always two things to consider: the robot and the human side. Robot would be Google, quality score, things like that. And then there's the human side. How do people react to it in real life? What do people think whenever you send them to a landing page versus your website? So after all the years, I always said, here's my professional opinion, here's my personal opinion, and they were split. But I've changed that recently, and here's my idea now about landing page versus website. I think it has to do with the industry that you're in. I think if you're in something that someone needs additional, it's kind of a researchy, I need a feel good type of thing in order to call this company. I need some trustworthiness. I need to see that they don't just do this one thing. They're kind of an expert in the whole field. They're a bigger company. You know, they're legit. They have things that may not necessarily be communicated on a landing page. You know, like, I want to see who the chiropractor is. I want to see who, you know, the people are that are servicing my car. I mean, there's things like that that you just aren't going to communicate on a landing page because you don't consider it to be valuable content, but it might be on a full website. So when it comes to a researchy type of feel good thing, and you can decide if that's the kind of thing you're in, then I would say website. But when it comes to like emergency, I need someone to do this. I really don't care who, I just need it done, and I need it done right. And I'm either price shopping or just the fastest person to get it done is who I'm looking for. Then landing pages could work really well. So when it comes down to it, I think that both of them can be excellent in either situation, depending on what kind of industry and service or product delivery that you're in. So that's my thoughts there. But as far as, you know, Becky, like you said, nobody really knows. And if a Google rep told you that, you know, there's probably some truth to it. But if there's one thing you know about one thing, there's a million other things that are underlying that point that can completely change the basis of that, that may make it untrue for you, but true for someone else. I mean, there's all kinds of things that it's deep.
And Becky, run an experiment campaign, run your campaign 50% to your website, 50% to your landing page with the same bids. See if your cost per click is lower on one of those tests. See if your conversion rate is better on one of them. Your cost per conversion is lower. They have the nice landing page area in the new interface where you can get data based on the different landing pages that you're taking traffic to. And Chris, I think you make a great point about the industries. Just a couple examples. Like, I was talking to a plastic surgeon prospective client this week, and you were talking to a plastic surgeon this week too, because your face needs work. No, you were talking to them too, because they might be a prospective client for you again. And we're in that situation where we're competing again, and it makes me uncomfortable, and we're going to have to figure something out.
Don't know why you brought it up again, but okay.
Well, plastic surgeon, that's someone where you need some information. You want to look through the website. You want to see before and afters. You want to see their qualifications and all that, because it's a huge thing to your body. It's a huge consequences. The stakes are very high. The opposite of that is junk removal. Junk removal has now become my favorite industry to highlight how little the difference between like landing page and website matters, little the even going to the website matters. Call only works great on junk removal. And it's to the point where it's like someone you call junk removal and they could literally say this like, hey, I've got some stuff. I need someone to come haul it away. When are you available? And they're like, well, good news. We're available today. Today, we can come out today, unlike the other five companies you called. And we charge the same thing as them. We've killed people before. We are convicted murderers. We served our term. We got out. It was a different time. They were only given 25-year sentences. You know, did something bad at 20. We're 45 now. We're 50. We have killed people. We're not going to kill you. But just know, legally, we have to tell you that. That being said, do you want to go ahead and schedule? Yeah, sounds great. I'll see you guys this afternoon. Like, that's the junk removal business, yes. Chris. Well, like, people do not care who's coming to do it. They do not care really that much about price. They just need someone now, as long as the price is decent, I should say. So that's an example of when landing pages don't matter. But, Chris, let's put that question in the past here, and we appreciate the question, Becky, because it is time to move on to the meat of this episode, what the episode was about. And Chris, I pitched it to you this week. Mm-hmm. You're a tough guy to pitch. You know, before I get five words out of my mouth, the word no comes out of your mouth. Like, you are very stingy. You're hard to impress, but I don't know what I did this week, but I impressed you and you gave me the green light. So that being said, I would love to get your take on what this episode is about and see how you feel about it.
Yeah, so the very long email that you sent out at like midnight while I'm fast asleep and Jason's hard working, just typing away and working hard, and I get this long email in the morning when I get up.
Number one, people, I'm so sick of this. Like, sometimes I've sent emails to like friends and family like at 2 a.m. because I'm sharing an article with them.
Yeah.
And instead of just realizing that, oh, he was up late that night, or, oh, he's somewhat of a night owl, They instead of like conversing about what that email was about, what the article was about, they go, oh, are you okay? Why were you up so late? Yeah. And then I send an email to Chris about the show and you get on here and you tell people, why would you tell the audience that I sent an email?
Because it's always
unless
funny.
You're trying to make me look bad and trying to get clients.
Well, I do remember one day that I confided in you that I wasn't feeling great and you literally started the show. You said, Chris is under the weather. I'm sorry you're not feeling good today. And just
no. Let me not to correct you, but let me make it a little worse. You did not tell me you're not feeling good. I just made it up.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Because I wanted to imply some kind of weakness on your side.
So let's level the field.
I saw a guy do that in an interview. It's a power move.
Let's level the field.
Oh, another power move. And I'm not going to do this now.
You are not the victim.
Hold on. I'm not going to do this now.
I will put my finger in your face.
I'm not going to do this now. But I will do it in about like 2 to 3 years. And I want the listeners who have good memories at that point to remember back and remember me telling you I'm going to troll you this way.
Oh, no.
Another power move I'm going to do on this podcast is I'm going to tell you to speak into the mic. And I'm going to drop it about like 5 times over the course of one episode. And I'm never going to lead on that I'm joking. I'm going to be like, Chris, that's a great point. Hey, just a reminder, can you speak into the mic? Like that kind of stuff, because that makes you look bad. And I've seen podcasters do that to their guests. And it's so rude. And it's like, can't their sound guy just turn up their volume? But anyway, so in 2 or 3 years, the listeners who remember that are going to laugh because you will get mad. You will forget that I told you this.
Yeah.
And we will go back in time and watch this clip.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the warning. I probably won't remember this, but okay.
Well, thanks for telling everyone I sent an email at midnight. What do you want to do? Do you want to come arrest me? Is that against the law to send an email at midnight?
It's, you know, it's just, we try and break.
It's just different.
Like
it's
you
just
said,
different.
We get naked on the internet together. And so I'm just revealing a bit of you. I'm just pulling the sheet off Jason a bit. I feel like I get the sheet pulled off me, you know? So it's playing the victim here. So, all right. What were we talking about? AdWords. Okay.
All right, Chris, tell us about spring cleaning.
I don't want to talk about this long email. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm having too much fun.
No, Chris, we can't do that. We got to talk about Google Ads. That's the point of the show here. So
leave a review to ask for one show where we literally don't talk about AdWords the entire time and we just yell at each other. Like, that's what I want to do.
Oh no, we'll do that. Like we'll if there's enough audience demand out there, we'll go 2 days a week. And the first episode of the week is paid search podcast Google Ads talk. The second episode is just like. Just hanging out, water cooler, yeah. Kind of talking, maybe a little business strategy. So if you guys want that, let us know. But Chris, spring cleaning. So I send you this email and I'm like, it's been something that's on my mind. And I'll just talk about it from my own perspective, my own account. I run those campaigns we talked about, a lot of remarketing, run some search ads for my business. And I was going through a remarketing campaign the other day. I was going through my device adjustments. I was going through my audience adjustments, gender, income, that kind of stuff. And I was like, who the heck has been messing up my account? Mm. Like, what are all these stupid adjustments on there? And I had to like reset things. And it kind of, the reason it was in that state is because like a year ago, I thought it was a good idea to totally like decrease my, I think it was desktop bids by 50%. And then a year ago, I thought it was a good idea to do some kind of not parents bid adjustment. And it made sense at the time, but it's been a year. Other things have happened. I put in some new ads. Maybe it's time to start trying things again. And it kind of brought to the surface again, and a theory I've come up with, which is spring cleaning on a Google Ads account. There's just stuff that you and I and the world is going to miss week to week, month to month, managing accounts. These are things that are not going to show up when we look at the last 7 days of data. They're not going to show up when we look at a 30 days report. It's just stuff that can build up over time that's hard to spot unless you actively go do some spring cleaning. So this is stuff we recommend doing quarterly or every 6 months or annually. And it's stuff that, again, is easy to miss. And using this checklist, you can go kind of clean things up. And so with that said, Chris, do you agree with the theory? Do you think it is a valid theory that this stuff can be missed, even by the best AdWords managers going in there every week?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you made a really good point there, because part of, you know, an annual or monthly check is you go back and you see what has it been like for the last 18 months. 12 months, 6 months, and you check these trends and you're like, wow, I didn't realize we had way less conversions and I'm getting a whole lot more. And, you know, I'm basing some of these metrics on a smaller scale. And, you know, things like you mentioned, when you're jumping into the first one, income and gender and, you know, parent, not a parent bid adjustments. These are all things in the demographics. And it may have sounded like a good idea, but you were working with maybe a smaller sample size. You know, maybe you've increased your spend. Maybe you've changed the number of clicks you get. So therefore, you've increased the number of conversions that you're getting. And more conversion metrics means you're going to get more accurate about what's working and what isn't working. You know, if you get 4 conversions a month and then 16 months down the road, you get 40 conversions a month, you're going to have more accurate data than you did previously. So absolutely true. And when it comes to this same situation, I've had it happen plenty of times. I've gone in there and like, wow, I didn't realize I was blocking, you know, males that are logged into Google and I was dropping their bids by 50%, or maybe I had blocked them. I had this one client that I was doing geo bid adjustments on, and I had only done because it was a high-end beauty salon. And I had blocked anybody that was in the 50% and below zip code. And over the months, their conversions were getting less and less. And I was checking everything. And then I got to this point where I just opened up all of the settings. I looked at everything and I realized I'm missing a ton of traffic here because of this zip code exclusion that I had set up. So I turned that off. So geo bid adjustments, income, gender, the demographic settings, that's a huge factor. And then
device.
Device. So I'll say for device, it's something that I tend to look at very quickly. And there's one reason for that. When it comes to geo bid adjustments or demographic, you know, income, things like that, it usually takes more than one click to look at it. So if you click demographics, if you want to check your income level bids, you have to then click on the income level sub tab. So it's not default. But devices, when you click on devices, there it is right there. Computer, mobile, and tablet. So it's very obvious. So I tend to check devices more often. But these other two, geo bit adjustments and the demographics, absolutely something that gets overlooked all the time. I would say very important.
And I think there's two situations where that can happen, Chris. One is where you like go in there with the intention of making a big change. Like you go one day, you're just looking at your gender data and you're like, you know what? Females are not converting at a high enough rate compared to males. I'm going to bid them down by 75%. I'm mm-hmm. just going to do it and see what it looks like. And then next thing you know, you're building out new campaigns in the account. Next thing you know, the campaign was off for 2 weeks because they were on vacation. Now it's back on. And then just time goes on and you just left that there. Mm-hmm. And maybe you check the data and after a month, it lined up the way you wanted it to. It was like, okay, yeah, female bid adjustment is down now. So the cost per conversion went down. I'm happy. But like we're saying, these are things you want to just go back and look at 12 months of data, look at 6 months, just check it. And don't forget that you left this on. So that's one situation where this can kind of build up over time and might need to be reset. Another one is where I see this all the time, Chris. People call in for help with Google, or they're getting a consultation from AdWords consultant, and they look through their data for the last 30 days or whatever. They make some bid adjustments on some cities or zip codes, -20%, -10%, +15%, whatever. They make some income bid adjustments, some gender bid adjustments, real small ones, not like 50 or 75%, but just small ones. And then they leave them there. And then it's like, okay, but you should check that at least like once a quarter, once a year. Why are they still in place? Is there a reason to have them in place? That's the point of the spring cleaning, to just go back and look what you've done and see if it still makes sense to leave it there or if you should adjust them from where they are now. So another thing to check are the audiences. Chris, this is something I know because I watched your training video you share with the world on our YouTube channel about how to make a display, a YouTube campaign, or I think it was a search campaign. Like I showed you this audience overlay thing and I thought you would like it and enjoy it. But dude, you're like addicted to it. Putting audiences on search campaigns for observation. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a person in the world that likes doing it more than you. Like you're a voyeur, like you're a people watcher. You like seeing what the different audiences do. So
it's always
you put them on as observations, and I think a lot of people don't check what happens, but why don't you tell us what that spring cleaning check looks like on audience overlays?
Yeah. So audience overlays is worthless after, a day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. It's the kind of data that you set it and forget it for a bit until you get to spring, until you get to a quarterly, an annual check. And now you've got data. So the way the audience overlays work is, in addition to your keyword data, if a person is searching for a mover, a plumber, whatever they're searching for, whatever keywords you have, they will also have an affinity or an interest or recent search history for a topic. You know, they've been considering a new computer, so they might have an affinity for tech products. They might be looking for a new makeover, you know, a beauty salon, something like that. They've been looking and doing some searching and looking at web pages and stuff like that. So they might have an affinity for health and beauty. These tendencies can sometimes mean you can overlay what they're searching for and also an interest, a kind of a personality of the searcher. So it's going beyond gender and age and income and people that have the same look-alike tendencies as other people that have converted. So the idea here is you might find that, if you're selling cheap international flights, there is an audience overlay that you can add as an observation level and bid higher on people that have recently been doing searches about travel. And that's incredibly useful. And what's really interesting is you can kind of reverse engineer this and actually take and block certain interests. And, you know, let's say you are working with a super small budget and you could actually block certain interests completely, 100%, or I think it's 90%, I think is the max.
Job seekers,
yeah,
or whatever.
You know, so now you're only targeting people. Well, you could put -90 on everything, but just a few. And so all the bids would be super small, except for the ones that search your keyword and have an affinity for technology or travel or something like that. So, lots of stuff there that you can use. And this is absolutely something that would work perfectly for a quarterly annual review, because it's the kind of thing that you don't need to check every day. This is a monthly, quarterly type of thing that you would check. So perfect example of, a spring cleaning type of checkup. And one thing I'll say, I've often found people that have huge problems. Since I'm on this topic, I'll just say, make sure you're on observation and not targeted. I've come across several campaigns where people are like, Chris, I can't figure out why I'm not getting any traffic. I put the bids up. I have tons of budget. It says I, have a 90% search impression share, but I get no traffic. There should be a whole lot more. And they have their audience targeted instead of at observation. So it severely limits the amount of people that they can show ads to. So there's a good quarter check right there that you should definitely do, is make sure you're on observation.
Yeah. Another one, Chris, and this is one I grew up going to Catholic school, and I don't think I ever did this, but you have the confessions where you go into the behind the door area where there's a priest on one side and you confess your sins to them. And if I had to confess the sins of an AdWords manager, there have been times when I've done this check. And this is why I'm recommending people do it quarterly or annually or whatever. Just make sure you do it. But you use the preview tool. And you go into the preview tool. You put the location of your city or whatever that you're running ads in. And you just start typing in your most no-brainer, common sense, what you think are your highest volume keywords. So if I'm working for a divorce lawyer, I'm going to put in like, and we're, of course, well, everyone on three, one, two, three, we're in Memphis, okay? A divorce lawyer in Memphis.
There we go.
And if I'm advertising for them, basically I'm doing this tool, the preview check tool, in my spring cleaning, quarterly or annually, to make sure I don't have any kind of crazy negatives blocking my searches, or I don't have any kind of really weird bids or whatever blocking my searches. So I go into the preview tool and I just start typing my most common, what I would want to be showing up on searches: divorce lawyers near me, divorce attorneys Memphis, divorce attorneys Memphis, Tennessee, divorce attorneys Memphis, TN, divorce law firms. And what I'm doing there is I'm making sure I don't have any, you could call them, accidental negatives blocking the word attorney, because maybe for the last 6 months, we were able to spend $1,000 a month on searches like divorce law firms, divorce lawyers, but we didn't get any divorce attorney traffic because I had the word attorney accidentally added as a negative keyword when I was adding them one day. That's what you're trying to avoid, because you won't see that as a problem if you're spending your full budget, if your search terms look good, if the conversions look good. Week to week, you may accidentally miss that you were totally missing and not able to show on one of your best searches for the last 6 months. You may miss that week to week because everything else looks good and it's easy to glaze over and miss that. So I do this preview tool check to search my most common searches and make sure nothing's blocking them. And so the reason I brought up the confession thing, Chris, is because I have been in some spots where I needed to confess to a priest. Like, this does happen. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it should happen, but week to week, you're focusing on other things. It can get a little easy to missing. So the one thing, Chris, people need to remember, though, is that the preview tool is not 100% accurate 100% of the time. Maybe you're out of budget for the day. Maybe you're targeting the city of Memphis, but you put in the Memphis DMA. Maybe the tool is just messing up that day. So don't take it as 100%. It could just be a random issue in your account, but it is a good idea to at least use it and make sure that the status there is not saying that you have a negative blocking it.
Yeah. All right, Jason, your next one is about lost impression share due to budget, but I'm going to skip that. If you want to come back to it, be my guest. I just don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about the next one that I think is much more interesting.
Okay.
Really bad CTR. Okay. I think this is a really good point. So when we're talking about really bad CTR, click-through rate is what that stands for. So if you have a really bad click-through rate, what I'm going to talk about here is not at the campaign level, not necessarily at the ad group level, but I'm going to think specifically about keywords. Look at the last 6 months, the last year, and if something has consistently had a click-through rate that is below the campaign average, and people are going to say, well, what's a good click-through rate? A good CTR is based on what you've gotten historically. I'm not going to give you a goal to shoot for, because sometimes you're just not going to get there. A good CTR is going to be based on what you've been doing. So if it's at least consistent or above your campaign average, that's good. If it's way below, 50% below or more, then okay, this would be a relatively bad for you click-through rate. So the idea here, go in and consider, are the ads bad? Am I being too broad with my keywords? Is this too high funnel and people just aren't interested in my service, my product, if they're searching this? This is an excellent check. And sometimes you may be getting a ton of impressions on something and a couple of conversions, but in reality, there's only a couple things that are working, and you need to isolate those and set those out as separate keywords.
Well, Chris, the reason it's a spring cleaning look at a larger piece of data check is because you can have an ad that maybe is like your 20th most high impression ad every 7 days, every 30 days. And so like every time you do your ad check every week, every couple of weeks, once a month, it's showing up not in like the top 10 or top 15 you're focusing on. It's like kind of down the list in the top 20 to 30-ish range. And so it's never looking like a super big problem. But if you take that data and you add it up over 6 months, over a year, and you actually make an intention to look down the list, then you're going to see some real impressions rack up. So that's why that's on the list. Chris, search impression share lawsuit, a budget check. That's just something I think not a lot of people check week to week, month to month. And my point there is that sometimes I know a lot of business owners, Chris, that have great AdWords campaigns, and they're profitable and they're helping their company, and they haven't raised their budget in years. And a lot of the times, if they're spending $2,000 a month and they have the room to spend $2,500, they should spend $2,500 because it's going to help their business. And you can see that by just looking at your search impression share lawsuit to budget metric, just having a reminder to check that every few months and making sure you're not leaving good, profitable campaigns. You could be getting more from them.
What's surprising to me is I hear many people say Google Ads is the only source of new leads that we get. And then I look and I'm like, why are your bids like only third position? Or, you know, why is your budget only $5 a day? And you're telling me that AdWords is essentially critical to what you're doing. I think that's a good point. So
that's a number one, I think, mistake advertisers make is they leave their budgets alone and don't grow them.
Yeah.
Like the whole point is this is supposed to work and you're supposed to grow your budget.
Yeah. All right. So next is something that Jason, you have on the list here that honestly is something I really hate doing, but it's just kind of a grind, but it's checking the negative keywords. Okay. You talked about using the preview tool check, which is a great way to kind of a secondhand check to make sure you don't have any dumb negative keywords that are blocking important terms. But this is more of a spot check and just going through and scrolling through your negative keywords, anything surprising. I think now would be a good point to mention how not to do negative keywords. If you scroll through your list and all you have is a bunch of exact match negative keywords, they're all long tail exact match negative keywords, and you don't have anything that is a broader catch-all for something, I'm going to say you're doing it wrong. I'm just going to say it because there are sometimes blanket terms you just need to exclude. If you are a plumber, you're trying to get plumbing leads, HVAC leads, and you have tons of searches that are coming up that have YouTube, and you're excluding long tail like YouTube funny cat in a plumbing, you know, video, and you didn't just exclude the word YouTube, you're doing it wrong. You need to go through and make sure. So just a side note there. Just a side note. People always get confused about how they should use negative keywords.
That's a great point. If you click on how to become a plumber as your negative keyword and add that exact match, even phrase match, like, okay, you're going to block that going forward, but how to become, that should probably be blocked as well, phrase match, because there's no search like how to become an unplugged toilet. No one's ever going to search that.
Right.
They're going to search how to unclog a toilet or whatever. They're not going to search how to become. So that's a huge mistake people make, Chris, is it's just a lot of work with not a lot of benefit, adding long tail, exact match, negative keywords. But yeah, Chris, you don't like doing this. I don't like doing this, dude, but this is the work that has to be done. Some of my greatest campaigns have negative keyword lists of 2,000 keywords. I can almost guarantee you there's something on that list that should not be on there. And I'm not going to catch it with the preview tool check and checking my top searches, but maybe I'm blocking my like 17th best keyword because I have something in there. So downloading that list, I like maybe putting it in alphabetical order so you can, it's easier to scan. That can really, it's something you should check, especially if you have long built up list.
Yeah. Good note there. I think that's something a lot of people end up skipping. So next, honestly, not something I do a lot, but I have one quick anecdote to talk about here, but checking your rules and scripts. So rules and scripts are two different things. Scripts are something that's a coding type of language that's added and it does something for you that's specific. It can be custom designed. A rule is following a preset of guidelines that you can install in AdWords for it to do for you. So you can say, if number of clicks are this, pause, or when budget reaches this much, pause, or lower budget this amount. That's what rules are. Scripts can be much more customized. So I'll tell you, scripts are still not something I use a whole lot of, but I will tell you on rules, I've stumbled across campaigns that I had no idea what was happening, and it drove me crazy. I thought the client was trolling me, but basically, if anything has a quality score below 5, lower bids by 30% or something like that, or pause keyword. And I kept adjusting these keywords and they kept popping back up and it was a weird email and I never could figure out who was doing it. And then I realized it was a rule. So this is literally something that should only take a couple seconds, but just going into your rules, making sure anything that's turned on is something you want to be turned on, and then you're done.
Yeah, Chris, I've been almost trolled like that too. It's like stuff is changing on your account. It's pausing. It's turning off. It's turning on. The budget's going up. The budget's going down. You look at the change history, yeah, and I forget what it says in there, but it's definitely says weird, like, yeah, something's doing something. And you're like, who has access? Yeah. Who is this? And it's because there's a rule set up on the account. So just checking that every now and then. And Chris, you're going to love me for this podcast producing right now. But the last five, I'm just going to run through them real quick because they're pretty simple, but they're effective things to check. Sometimes, Chris, I go to make a new ad on an account and I'm like, whoa, okay, that is a different ad format that we now have access to. So just check your ad formats. Call only ads are constantly changing. Expanded ads are constantly changing. Chris, we have a lot of business owners who listen to the show that kind of get into their account once a month. Maybe they're very focused on search terms and that's it. Take a look at your ad formats. Maybe there's new formats you can start to utilize and try. Ad extensions, that is not part of the weekly management checklist that Chris and I go through each week. We are not looking at the different click-through rates on different callouts or site links, but once a quarter, annually, you should. You'll build up enough data. You look at the call-out click-through rates. There'll be some with really good, some with really bad. You can turn off the bad ones. You can get ad copy idea from the really good ones. And same thing with site links. Campaign overview page, Chris, the kind of new page, or it's set up different in the new interface. Just checking that every now and then, seeing what Google's giving you with the different data ideas and those kind of things can help out. One thing I like looking at is the search term and word bubble. They break down the search terms also into the highest volume words that show up in different search terms. That's a different way to look at things and can give you different ideas. So we would recommend going in the overview page when you're doing your spring cleaning. Check your auction insights report every now and then. Chris and I are not big on worrying about what the competitors are doing. We're big on worrying about what we can control. So we're very focused on the account, but once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year as a business owner, it's good to go into the auction insights, see who's advertising out there. Maybe there's strategic partnerships you can strike up with other businesses. Maybe there's competitors you didn't know exist and now they're on your radar. So that's something to look at. And then the final tip, scan, and we'll link to this in the show notes, scan the Google Ads official blog every now and then, because I have been through there and just scanned it every now and then. And I'll be like, whoa, we can track website phone calls now. That's cool. And you just find out about things that maybe you missed, or like, oh, there's a new ad format for call only ads. Okay, that's cool. So there's stuff that shows up on those articles that kind of don't break through to yourself as an AdWords manager, just laser focused on your own account week after week. Sometimes it's good to kind of look at the bigger picture, if you will. And I've just found some like very insightful new tools, new ways of doing things that I did not know about because I scan the blog every now and then. And Chris, you can attest to this. Google's constantly changing and it's hard to keep up sometimes. And looking at the official Google Ads blog, that's one place you can kind of keep up with all the changes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Opteo can help you do these things, keep track of all these spring checks, and send you email alerts, as we discussed at the top of the show. 6-week extended trial, opteo.com/PSP. This is an exclusive deal that they've offered listeners of the show, and you can take advantage of this extended trial. Go to opteo.com/PSP. Ask for the extended trial because you are a listener of the Paid Search Podcast, and they'll give it to you. Check it out, see all the cool things you can do, and save yourself time with Google Ads Management.
Thank you, Chris. And I also want to thank Directive Consulting for sponsoring today's episode. Go to B2B, an enterprise search engine marketing agency. If you have an enterprise, big business out there, and you're looking for a expert level search engine marketing agency that gets it, that gets the need to get good leads and get more of those leads, Directive is the place to go. They know how to use PPC, SEO, content, landing pages. They put it all together and run awesome lead generation campaigns for B2B companies and enterprise companies. You can get a custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com, and we recommend you guys check out their site and also look at their case studies.
That's it. That's the song that announces it's time to stump the chump. And Jason, you got your trivia question for me today. I'm excited. I'm 2 for 2. You are, I think, 1 for 3, or I don't know. It's just not good. It's not a passing grade. That's what I know. But
well, we discussed that last week, and I'm not going to take the bait and get angry this week about that. So people know where I stand.
Yeah.
They know where I stand on this. So PayChurch Trivia, PST. So Chris, true or false? Let's just get into it. True or false?
Oh, no.
Google Ads has shareable dashboards on each account.
That's it? Did you try? Did you try to come up with? True. Absolutely. There's two formats. There is the dashboard setting in AdWords or Google Ads specifically, and then there's even the Data Studio format, which can pull in Google Ads, which is also a Google property. So there's actually two different formats, but directly in ads, yes, there is a dashboard system.
Okay, good for you. You got it right. And everyone listening, yes. If you go to reports at the top of the page, under reports, there is a menu item or a list item named dashboards. And Chris, I did not know about this until this week because I know you've been playing around with the Data Visual Studio and trying to create some nice looking things in there. But my question to you is, why would you do that when they give you this starter dashboard and get you most of the way there and it's inside the Google Ads account? To me, if people want like a shareable, And you can set this up to schedule emails to people. One tip, pro tip. You have to the email address that you share them with, they have to be listed as at least a view level on the account. They have to have access to the account. And so like if I was managing your campaign, Chris, and it was my manager account hooked up to the account, and I wanted to send it to you, I would have to have your email address added as a view, at least a view user. Or else it won't accept the email address. But if you're talking about monthly reporting, you can set up a dashboard that shows the last 30 days of data, schedule it out to go on the first of the month. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
And then Chris, they have all the data in there. You can download a PDF. Dude, like I'm pretty blown away. So why are you playing around? Why are you messing around with that Data Visual Studio, which I know you spent a lot of time and sweat on?
Yeah, which I'm using absolute zero of right now. So it's a very, very good question. And I don't know. It's probably something I should look more into. But, you know, it's all about the Benjamins. And sometimes the Benjamins don't come across in dashboards. Huh? So that's how it goes.
Okay, Chris, let me slap you and kind of rephrase the question. you've been playing around with Data Visual Studio so you could get a dashboard solution.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one in the Google Ads account. I think you should use it if you want a dashboard solution.
I know.
I'm trying to help.
I know. I understand. And it was...
like, that's why I was surprised higher, you knew about the dashboard.
The data studio is something that is...
It's cool. It's cool.
It has a whole lot more extendability than the AdWords dashboard. So that's why. And in the end, it ended up being more than I needed. Like, you know, I didn't need all of that. So it ended up becoming more complicated than I needed it. So... yeah, I mean, it's a good reminder, but Jason's, you know, you know, there's more than we can do in AdWords in years with all the tools that are out there. So sometimes it's just okay, overwhelming.
Because you and apparently a lot of listeners think Google listened to us because of the keyword planner updates and all that, I'm going to throw this out there to Google. If y'all can get the custom dashboards to have shareable links... that people could go to and get the same data, like a static link that where they could always go see their dashboard, that would go a long way with AdWords managers. That would be freaking awesome.
Yep.
So please do that. That would be great. To me, that would be awesome. But Chris, how long have you known about dashboards in Google Ads? Did they exist in the old interface?
No, they did not exist in the old interface that I'm aware of. I don't believe so. I think it's been the...
Oh, hold on. I'm not going to act like you're all high and mighty. Like, I've clicked on that report button many a time in the past few months with this new interface, and I don't recall seeing the dashboards item there until recently. So I think it might have been a situation where my version, maybe it hadn't rolled out to me.
Right.
Seriously, because I think I would have seen that dashboards thing
and
not gone, oh, that's been there forever.
I mean, I thought they would have seen it for a long rolled time. It out to premier partners faster, you know? I thought maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Chris, if you're not a premier partner, please don't speak on premier partner.
I all. Have, I'll leave can it you at see that. Behind me? You see that? I have the plaque.
Yeah. Chris, I feel like you're like a... You're like an old man. That's how I feel. Like your energy has just tanked at the end of this episode.
I don't know how you want to end it. I'm done. Hey,
okay. All right. Well,
I'm tired. It's been almost an hour. I'm done.
All right. Well, Chris did his walk off this week. You know, it's one thing if I run off the show and curse and all that kind of stuff. We kind of know it's coming, but it's a little alarming when Chris does it. So if everyone could just leave an iTunes review that says, "Hey, Chris, rooting for you," or a YouTube comment that says, "Hey, Chris, you're a great guy and things will get better," or, you know, just leave him a nice note. Tell him how good looking he is. Tell him he's a 10 out of 10. That's what I tell him all the time. He just did something bad on camera. And yeah, just leave a comment telling Chris how much you love him, because it is a little alarming when Chris pulls this stunt as opposed to myself. But we'll leave it at that. I want to thank everyone for listening and watching, and we'll be back next week with the Paid Search Podcast.